15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com. You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio. As you know, the radio serves southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And also, you can listen from anywhere in the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And if you have the time later on, you can listen anytime simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime broadcast. And we have a number of past broadcasts up there for you to enjoy. I'd like to take this opportunity to again remind you to contact family, friends, neighbors, and invite them to tune into the broadcast here on 860, because we're certainly going to have a lot of news and information to share with you. And, you know, we've been doing our best to promote American workers and the Buy American Made campaign, and helping along with this great project is a gentleman who has been with us for quite a while, and he is going to be with us the first portion of today's broadcast. That's Curtis Ellis, who is always promoting the America First Project. And of course, Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, national small business advocate, Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be with you and hear from you. Remember, you can always email me at michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
It may sound like I'm off-site today, but I want to just say a great welcome to everybody, because this has been a very, very unbelievable week. And we're going to have a few more unbelievable weeks before we can all get back to normal. Well, as we begin today's broadcast, I would like to say, with all that's been happening in the United States, it's good to see a lot more interest in voting. Voting has really been hot and heavy on everybody's minds these days. And with early voting, I know many of you already voted, and I'm encouraging everyone to vote. If you're voting by mail, send it in today. I really don't see a reason for any of us to hold on to the ballots until next week. If you got the ballot, you're ready to vote, vote. If you are going to vote in person, please be there to do that so that you can have all that done before the polls close. It's going to be very, very interesting. And what we want to know is that America's voters really are respected. So when you go out to vote, make sure you have an idea of what's going to be going on in your area, what your polling time is, where you're going to be expected to be at that particular time, and be there on time. I would also like to see the national media doing some more to promote the idea of people getting their ballots in way before the last day of October, way before. I don't understand why people are saying, oh, it's okay to vote on the 3rd, the 4th, mail it in by the 5th. It should be done way in advance so that there's no last-minute chaos. I would also like to see the national media ask some questions of the presidential candidates as to what action they will take the day of the election, the day after the election, to get more businesses interested in expanding in the United States of America. Here in the United States of America, we have to worry about America first. And what plans do they have to welcome businesses to return to America so we can make millions of jobs come about, get workers back to work here in the USA, as has been happening in the last few years? And we have to understand that that's what our goal is. Now, American workers should also be demanding of the candidates running to talk up on their own merits? What have they been doing in their time as elected office holders? Now, as far as Mr. Biden, he has 47 years of political involvement. He can certainly speak up for all the good that he has been doing. President Trump has almost 4 years of political involvement. He too can speak up about his involvement, and I hope that I hope very much that the debates will bring all of that about and the balance of the campaign, because if anything, we need to see what the people running for the top elected office in America are doing. Also, before I welcome some of our panelists, I would like to say, after 30 years of allowing foreign countries to welcome America's businesses and jobs from the United States, I mean, they've been pulling them out, sucking them out for years. President Trump was elected in 2016, and many people are telling me that he became the national disciplinarian for the United States economy with the goal to get jobs and job skills back here in the United States of America. His efforts has helped American workers and businesses that had hard times for many years competing with cheaper products that flooded America, and they really took away the jobs that American could be filling, and they really overturned our entire supply chain. Many of you are going shopping right now, and in the various stores, you see empty shelves. And if you question the people, they say, well, the imported stuff is not coming in as scheduled because the pandemic blocked them from shipping stuff in for several months. Well, we see this now, and if we don't do something about it, it's going to be very, very bad. President Trump took the mask off all the outsiders who are bringing everything into the United States, buying up the country, and making America, not on the top list of priorities. So I'm kind of glad that, okay, I hear that Larkin Connolly is with us. Larkin, tell us what you think these days.
Good morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. I'm off site today. There's been some Comcast issues, so that's the problem we are having today. Yes. Tell me everything, Larkin.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I wanted to be able to predict the election today, and I couldn't be more confused than I am right now about where this country is. But I can tell you where I am as far as the day after the election is concerned. I live in consummate fear that this country, as a republic, is going to be challenged by this election. I don't think either side, one has been a little bit more vocal than the other, but I'm challenged by the fact that I don't think either side is going to accept the outcome. And that I have a couple of favorite people that I like to listen to and listen to their podcast. And Douglas Murphy is one of them, and he's a Brit. And he said, you truly don't have to dig very far back in your history books to discover that this kind of kerfuffle it can be the root of civil war. And I've been saying that all along. And I just hope I am so wrong it's not funny. But this nation is in a very, very, and I use the word loosely, funny place right now.
Yeah.
And I think that here's what I wish for. And I never thought I'd say this. Whoever wins, I hope it's decisive. Because if it isn't, we've got nothing but problems. We're going to have major, major problems as a republic and we're going to be challenged on just about every level they can find. So
I agree with that. I want to add just one thing on my own opinion, and then I'm going to ask Curtis to join us. I really believe that the outsiders have been doing this in America to divide the people. Now, can anybody tell me why the first few years of the Trump administration were running pretty smooth as the president was calling for people to come back to America, as taxes were going down, as we were having more and more people going into job training programs, the taxes on businesses helped businesses make roots in America? Why all of a sudden in the last year, people question me about that all the time. They say, Michael, what is the problem? Why did it happen all of a sudden? That many of the small businesses are seeing it, and we will see how the vote turns out after the election. The way they're doing things in some of the states, it's insane to me. How do you tell people to mail your ballot on the day of the election? There should be a cutoff for that ballot. 30th of October, it should be postmarked. None of this, well, postmark it by the 3rd. And by the time the post office gets it to you, it could be the 5th, 6th, or 7th. This is totally insane. What happened during this pandemic, it's drained the middle class people in America of their money and their savings. We need a real leader to restore what we have put ourselves into by allowing too many regulations to be put on us over the pandemic. I mentioned 4 months ago, I would like to see all these major people, the Dr. Fauci's and everybody, 20 of them at least, on a two-hour program talking to us what we can do, what we should do, how the children should be back at school, not in school. Let us know, are there any vitamins to take? Nothing. There was nothing done for already. We're in 7 months. All we do is see people standing there giving some opinion, and there's nothing on the table that really tells people how to protect themselves other than a mask and social distancing. Are there any vitamins you can take? Or is there anything in the system? We can't all of a sudden close the world because of a virus that came from China. Curtis, let me turn to you. Curtis, tell us everything. What is going on? You're the man with the pulse on most of what's happening in the USA.
It is so great to be here with you all. Thanks for having me. Great to be back.
Welcome
with 14 days left to the most important election ever. I can't agree more with what both you and Larkin said. Let me start with what Larkin was saying. I, too, fear very much for the future of the country because, pardon me, unfortunately, it seems that too many people here, too many of our citizens, have forgotten how it works and forgotten what it takes to work. I, too, pray for a decisive victory, a decisive outcome, and on election night and of this election, because otherwise, yeah, you're going to see what we saw in 2016, which is the other side, the Democrats in that case, the Hillary supporters, never really accepted the outcome of the election. We had the absolutely unprecedented spectacle of Hillary Clinton, of the losing candidate, refusing to concede on election night. We don't even know to this day what type of conversations were going on behind the scenes inside Hillary campaign headquarters with her brains trust. They were probably counseling that she never concede, because that's the advice she gave to Joe Biden this time. Do not concede under any circumstances. We saw them try to convince the electors not to vote for the person they were sworn to vote for, the person that the people in their state chose to be the next president of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We now have learned that there were discussions behind the scenes about delaying the inauguration. And we now know that Hillary Clinton and her cabal launched the entire fabricated out of whole cloth, the Russian collusion narrative. They used that as the pretext for trying to, this phony made-up story that an American citizen, President Trump, or President-elect Trump, candidate Donald J. Trump, was a Russian spy. They made this up out of whole cloth, and then they used that as a pretext for convincing the electors, to try to convince the electors not to elect Donald J. Trump. We know this because if you go back and you read the news stories, it's now kind of forgotten. They wanted the intelligence agencies to brief the electors. There was a move by the Democratic Party and by the Clinton people. They were trying to push for a briefing by the bought and paid for, wholly compromised secret intelligence services of the United States to brief the electors on this phony Russian collusion narrative, which again was made up out of whole cloth, endorsed by the crooked cops at the FBI, the CIA, and the NSA, Clapper, Brennan, Comey. Mm-hmm. And that would be the pretext for them to vote for Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump in the Electoral College. And they use this, and there's sources are now revealing, and have now revealed, that these same people were thinking of plans of a way to delay the inauguration on that same pretext.
I remember that, Curtis, and that to me in itself was so unbelievable because there's a little bit of time between Election Day and the inauguration. It was a disgrace that this was even going on.
That's a coup.
It's not the American way. It's foolish. And, of course, President Trump, I know, is saying, well, he's not going to, you know, concede until the votes are truly in. I guess any of us would do that because he's elected to be the governor of the nation, the disciplinarian.
That's right.
I love that when one of the high school disciplinarians said to me, well, you know, Michael, a lot of the people who are, you know, used to doing whatever they want to, they are doing their thing, and they don't like that somebody is coming in and saying, hey, we outsource too many of our businesses. We outsource too many of our jobs. We got to get them back. It's a new disciplinarian. A new sheriff came to town, and the foreign investors and the foreign merchandisers don't like it. They want somebody that they can just pay off and keep their mouth shut and let it go
right on.
And every person listening now who has a family member or friend that has been in the system, has been unemployed at any point in the last 15, 20 years, knows that the jobs were sucked out of America. It's like the press. They're like vampires sucking out the life from the American people, feeding them goofiness in every kind of information, but something positive. When those candidates are running for election, they should be saying, hey, I'm Joe Biden, and I have 47 years of political involvement. Look at all the good things that I've accomplished in my career. And then give me a list. I haven't seen that list. President Trump has been in for 4 years, and the list I see is all things that I've lived through. So I know what's going on. You lived through them. Every person listening has lived through this very well. And they know, well, we did reduce taxes. We are seeing more businesses opening. Even in this difficult economy, the businesses are trying to come back and get the people out of their homes and get involved a little bit. Some of the organizations are struggling along to get people out. We're all talking positive things. Both of the candidates should be running for president on the merit of their service to America in elected office.
That's right. Exactly right, Michael. They should be running for president on the basis of their record in service. Instead, what we hear Joe Biden talking about, this is a contest. This is about the soul of America. Excuse me, you're not running for Pope. You're running for president. I go to church, I go to synagogue, I go to services on Friday night, or you know, the mosque on Friday or Saturday, or church on Sunday, or mass every day of the week to save my soul. I don't go to the ballot box to save my soul. And I certainly don't go to a career politician. I don't expect a career politician to save my soul, as even the best career politician, you know. And it's they're muddying the waters. And it's really the greatest crime and the tragedy and the scandal is the complicity of the so-called news media. The journalists, the reporters are just playing along with this. They look, we've known that the political press corps in Washington, D.C. is just hopeless. They're brainless. They're high IQ morons. Going back to 1976 or so, there was a fellow named James Fallows. He was a speechwriter for Jimmy Carter. He wrote a book called Breaking the News, and it was all about how the press corps, the Washington press corps, and political journalism in this country is bankrupt. So that's almost 50 years ago he wrote that. Everybody's known it. They just cover the most superficial aspects of who's ahead, who's behind, who's raising more money, who's raising less money, who's ahead in the polls, who's behind, and you know who's saying what, not whether what they're saying is real or truthful or accurate. No. So it's just a complete sham what passes for reporting, and we're seeing that more than ever now with this story about the laptop of Hunter Biden. There has been absolutely no effort whatsoever by most of the corporate media to determine the veracity and authenticity of it, which, by the way, it has been verified to be true and authentic, and then the meaning of the emails on it. And if you examine the meaning of the emails found on this computer, what we see is garden variety political corruption, where the politician uses his connections to enrich his family, his friends, and perhaps himself through some type of secret arrangements.
What you're saying is they took the time, if I had to look at his experience and his accomplishments, he took the time to do that. But what can I say on the side, what he did for American workers, for American families,
right,
for America's future? That's what I'm interested to know. The people who I am in contact with, have in my email list and all, they are people who want something positive for themselves, for their children, and also for their grandchildren and for future generations. They don't want to know that some socialist type government is going to be the next thing that they're going to have to put up with. This is not what America is all about. The news media has made this into a total nightmare. And as I said earlier, they are they're emotional vampires, sucking the life out of the good that we should be hearing about during a political campaign. Those people running should say, I did this for American workers. I helped this. I brought 50 companies back. I brought 10 companies. Nothing. It's all mudslinging.
And Curtis, am I correct with my impression that they become less concerned about their one-sided reporting? I mean, they become almost blatant. I listened just for giggles to the opening of the CBS Evening News, and it's it is a personal slam on Trump every time. It's not a report of the condition of the election. They're almost shameless about it anymore.
Yeah, they've dropped all pretense. They don't even know they're doing it. This is the herd mentality among the Washington press corps, as I said, has been legendary for decades. the boys on the bus, right? That's when it was all men who were reporters. They called them the boys on the bus. And they all think they have a herd mentality, groupthink, and now they've been their commitment. They basically have to wake up every morning and swear to make personal slams against President Trump. That's the cost of admission. That's how you belong to the club. And so they all try to outdo each other. And it's really shameless, but it's shameful. It is just shameful. And I just can't. And you know, this is, again, I've said before that President Trump has, ever since he came down that escalator, he's been exposing the lies at the center of our political system. And this is the latest lie, that we have an objective press that's really reporting the news. They're not. They are handmaidens to the powerful. They suck up to the politicians and to the millionaires and billionaires that back them, the special interests, and they cover for them. They pretend that when these politicians make policy pronouncements, they pretend that they're for real, that they're actually going to follow through on that, and they very rarely do. President Trump is the first one to actually fulfill some of the promises and most of the promises he made. They pretend that these are serious policy proposals. They pretend that these politicians are virtuous. And I wrote a piece recently that you're going to learn more from watching Turner Classic Movies than you will from watching CNN. And, you know, the number one example I use is we saw that the recent peace deal between the United Arab Emirates and Israel, engineered by the Trump administration, they helped, they were midwives to that. And CNN has been pushing this idea that the only way you're going to get peace in the Middle East is through brokering some kind of deal between Israel and something called the Palestinian state. There is no Palestinian state, but this is the fiction that the foreign policy establishment has pushed for a number of years, that there's got to be a Palestinian state. Well, that's not how this came about. Instead, we got one of the richest nations on earth, richest collection, one of the greatest concentrations of wealth on earth in the Persian Gulf, the oil and gas resources. And they bypassed that whole thing and made a deal with Israel. So anyway, and nobody saw it coming, right? But if you were to watch Turner Classic Movies, you would have seen Lawrence of Arabia. And you look at that movie from 1962, and they lay out exactly what happened. What happened is after the Ottoman Empire collapsed in World War I, the British and French diplomats just created this phony nations, Syria, you know, Saudi Arabia, Jordan. And there were no nations. The Arabs there, the people living there, did not understand nationhood. They were loyal to their clan, not to this idea of a nation. And the British, and it's very funny, some of the dialogue, they characterize the British general who is behind all this as being thoroughly duplicitous. But you watch CNN, and you get the idea that these politicians are all virtuous and clean as driven snow, and that they are our betters, and they have no self-interest, and they're smarter than us and more virtuous than us. I mean, that's ridiculous. Back in the old days, people understood. Politicians are not necessarily the smartest, and they're not always selfless. I mean, how many people know of the town councilman that steered contracts to his brother-in-law's paving company? I mean, this happens every day of the week in towns across America all the time. Right. And Joe Biden is repeating the same thing on an international scale. His kid is cashing in on his father's name in order to steer some money into his bank account. And this is what the entire Washington establishment has been doing on a grand scale. They give away our jobs, give away our industries, they make some money in the process, and they preach this idea of globalism and one world, we're all going to be happy and everything's going to be better. But really, who's going to be better is them and their families and their friends. So it's – but. but this idea, and look, that's what people do. People are flawed. People are crooked. That's why our founders set up this system of checks and balances in order to not have too much power in too few hands, because it will corrupt. And fortunately, the consolidation of our economy, the consolidation of our political power into fewer and fewer hands has opened the way for this massive sellout and destruction of America.
Yes, you're right. Curtis,
and we see that now with the censorship. And I'm sorry,
you know,
go ahead.
Curtis, the people who are in Congress and the people also in state and local government, especially the people in Congress, they're the people who introduced and passed the legislations that hurt Americans most, all these trade deals and all. By not making America the best place to do business and helping businesses expand in the United States and getting more American workers on the job so they can be self-supportive, they are the people to be blamed. I'm looking now at this stimulus, what's going on with this. They know that the small businesses are being hurt very, very deeply, and yet they were continuing to fight for the last 2 months over issues to bring more and more of these bull programs on there to give to their friends, instead of looking out for the American people. And Nancy Pelosi, as far as I'm concerned, is not only a national disgrace, she is an international disgrace, because every American, no matter where they live, should say, what is going on in the Congress of the United States that they do not want to help the people hurt the most by this pandemic? I don't know. They've been introducing all kind of legislation for years. Every one of these trade deals has to go through Congress before it's signed by the president. So it's the Congress, then the presidents, who agreed to these trade deals that screwed America for years. And now we are hurt. It's the trade deals. They made all kind of deals with other countries. Never did I hear how they're going to help American workers. Oh, well, we'll get 20% of the jobs. No. What their trade deals put Americans in poverty. Many of those young people, many of them are good people, living paycheck to paycheck or on government programs. They're living in poverty, in other words, because they don't have enough jobs. They didn't have enough jobs 5, 10, and 15 years ago. So the people in the national offices have to be changed by the American workers, their families, and their friends. The fake news is driving every one of us crazy. It seems almost, Curtis, that we're living in one giant reality show. That's really true. What I feel. Every time I'm afraid even to look at the television, because it's one goof after the next trying to take the next one down. And I'm already so tired of the bull, so tired of the fluff questions that are being answered. I'd like to really have a three-hour debate, just the two presidential candidates, asking questions and getting answers from each other without all the niceties and blah, 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 all that stuff. The people in this country need to see what the next step is for us to go up the ladder, not for the ladder to fall on us. I want to take this moment to go to Mark. Mark Andel, how are you doing?
Good. How you doing, Mike, Curtis, Larkin? I'm not sure if Rich is on. Doing good. What you guys, all your gentlemen, said, the political unrest, absolutely. I hear about it every day. People are concerned. They're confused, nervous. Mike, I've got to tell you about an event I just did. We left over the weekend. Ricky Lee had the first outdoor event in Altoona, PA. So a group of us left Saturday, headed down to Altoona, through Western New York, Salamanca to Bradford. And going down, I got to tell you, I seen one Biden sign, one Trump sign as we're leaving Salamanca, and then one Biden, one Trump, and then all of a sudden the Trump signs, 4x8, 80% to 20% as we rolled. And It's just a fact in what you watch on TV. And then I couldn't see. I mean, these are 4 foot by 8 foot trailers painted. And I asked my sister, what do you think, 80-20? She said, more, you know. And we got down there, and it was at a Lions Club. Lions Club, all clubs are having difficulties because the you can't have your events, you can't have your doings on a weekend. They're 4,000 or 5,000 in the hole from the China pandemic. All clubs are everybody business. But talking to the veterans, Ricky Lee, you know, of course, music for our vets, and I got time on stage to do my speech. You know, people love the Made in America movement, there's no question. But talking to the veterans, you know, a couple of Vietnam vets and World War II, everybody said, don't ever forget that our president, Donald Trump, had our back more than any president I remember. And I was told that by many. And also he said, don't forget that the blacks love Donald Trump, too. And just comments from real people. The nice thing with PA, Mike, going down through Ridgeway and through all these small towns, they're down-to-earth people. They want to just earn a living, put food on their table, and have a normal life. But it was very refreshing to see all the Trump signs. And then they had 20 by 20 tents on the corners in Altoona. I seen two of them handing out the Trump product and whatnot, if you want to push. A lot of businesses going out. As we were leaving, they put another restriction on, so we just got out of town. And PA can't have outdoor events again. All this craziness going on. Talking to the owner of my other radio station that I have my show on, very nervous about Trump and what he's saying. But if you don't know, we got the evil, corrupt media and government, you're kind of dumb at this point, just like you guys have been talking about this whole show. Big election coming up. Business-wise, people are nervous. I've never heard so much, if Donald Trump don't get in, I'm selling my business, I'm done. They don't want to go from 20% federal tax to 36 possibly again. They just don't want to work that hard. I've done it, Larkin, you know. I just talked to a gentleman just before the show here. He said, if you haven't laid in bed worried about a payroll, Larkin knows exactly what I'm talking about, you shouldn't even be able to be a politician. That's like a prerequisite.
Absolutely.
You know, so, Mike, a lot going on, but our Made in America movement stronger than ever. To go from 80,000 Facebook friends to 250,000 in seven months, and we got our new store open, and people are just coming in to support us because they believe. You know, it's a grassroots movement. But this is huge, this election coming up. My military work, oil, mining work, everything is on the line. But you know what? The next day I'm going to work. But there's unsettledness. They're messing with the fabric of America.
You're right. And, Mark, I just want to add to what you said. You know, we are all Americans. The thing that I'm hearing over and over on these various news reports, especially in southeastern Pennsylvania area, is how they're trying to divide people by race, color, and creed. I hate that. We're all Americans. Let's stop that. Every human being is important. Every
Mike, you're
mother
not a racist,
wants
I'm not
their child to be number one and be able to do something positive. It drives me insane when they say, oh, he's dividing, she's dividing by race, color, creed. This is all nonsense. This is all taking away from the actual needs of the American people. We want the jobs back. Who is going to bring the jobs back? Who's going to have to be tough? I mean, I have to be tough myself. When I do an interview with somebody, they say, oh, thank God you said it, because I would never be able to say the things you said on air. But you said them, and I could say, well, he said them. Michael Bliosh said them, not me. Well, the fact of the matter is, we've been dancing the same waltz to the point that the people have collapsed on the dance floor.
Yeah,
we have to,
Mike,
get off the floor and start dancing to a new dance.
Yeah,
yes.
Mike, businessmen create livelihoods. Donald Trump creates livelihoods. If he puts a golf course in, he starts at the town hall, the permit cost, God knows what. Then you hire the surveyor, and then here you go with the construction crew. You put up the building, you're hiring people. Donald Trump should stick on the plan. He created jobs before he was president. He's creating jobs now. He should stick to his track record, what he did before this pandemic, knocking out the TPP, making us number one for energy. There's so much I'd love to see him talk about at the debate.
You know, something
about what he's done.
You know, something.
The thing that kind of overwhelms me is that the never Trumpers, I hate Trump, and they love to use the word hate, are afraid to ever be confronted in arguments and issues. There's nobody calling in here. Of course, there's nobody calling in for the right either. But There's nobody that calls in here that wants to take on Curtis as far as a lot of his feelings are concerned. You know, they have no argument.
Larkin, I have to tell you something. You will like this, because I was on a radio broadcast and the man said to me, well, do you realize how many trillions of dollars are being given out through this stimulus? And I very nicely said, yes, I do. I said, but the stimulus dollar is benefiting the American people. I said, trillions of dollars have been wasted in recent years on foreign wars that we didn't need to continue. And the guy said, well, that is an interesting point. And it's true. We funded the world. We went over to be gatekeepers in other countries while our country and the people in our Congress and our Senate made all these trade deals, took the jobs out of the United States of America, left our people unemployed without job skills. If you start a job, then you have a job skill after 6 months or a year. You know what you're doing. When I say industries, everything is an industry, whether it's the movie industry, the drug industry, the travel industry. These are all industries. America's industries have been very hurt through this pandemic. But it did one thing. It opened the eyes of the American people.
I'd like to say one thing. I had a nice guest on my show yesterday from Green Toys. Green Toys started about 5 years ago, and I brought up that Fisher Price made toys here in West New York and East Aurora, but not one toy Mattel makes is made in the United States. So the head of Green Toys was on 5 years ago. They make their product out of recycled milk jugs, which is very, very safe. Well, now they have five factories, Mike. They had two when I first interviewed them 5 years ago. And it's incredible. They were, she can't believe, you know, with no shipping containers coming from China filled with the product, they are booming, but they got to work from home. They're in California, so they got to wear bubble suits. We just got to wear gas masks in New York, you know, to live. So she's a little worse than us. And it's incredible, but these companies, the supply and demand, the Made in America movement's on. Donald Trump caused a lot of it with the tariffs and standing up to China. And I'm afraid if the right person's not elected, that'll be reversed and we'll be done.
Yeah, I want to see.
Can I make a point, Mike? May I make a point here?
Rich Logis, I need to hear from you today.
I'm listening.
It's been a rough broadcast.
That's okay. Look, no matter what anyone says, Michael, for all the gains in technology, for all the gains, Curtis, in data aggregation and accumulation, electoral politics at its core has always been and always will be a ground war. And most elections, Michael, are not about policy. They're not about the nuances of particular legislation. And that's going to hold true here. So you guys talked a lot about some of my very favorite subjects, including the press. So there is a comment I want to make, really just in relation to everything here, because I actually just happened to be editing last night, Curtis, my first draft of my final chapter of 10 Warning Signs Your Child is Becoming a Democrat, How to Make America Grown Up Again. And I actually give a history of how the most of what we call our legacy press has actually always sided with Democrats, despots, and tyrants. 1922, the New York Times said, you know, don't pay any attention to Hitler's anti-Semitism. The Associated Press worked with the Nazis to send them photos, worked with actually, Curtis, the people who were some of the main architects of the Holocaust. And there's just example after example. Those are older examples. There's newer ones. But the one point I want to make, Michael, about the press and this election, Mark, is this. The first rule of propaganda is to always accuse your opposition of what you're guilty. And what the legacy press of America, especially the pre-internet age press, you know, many of the papers, the networks, they talk a lot about voter suppression. The biggest voter suppressors in the United States are our legacy press, Curtis, including the polling companies. And here's why they're suppressors. If you took the name Biden out of the articles you're reading today and just supplanted with the name Clinton, it's deja vu all over again. So when you read the legacy press, here's what you read, Curtis. The president is trying to murder you with COVID. Biden's going to win 50 states. Now, why does the press write those stories, Larkin? Because they are attempting to suppress the turnout vote of the president, just like they did it to suppress the vote in 2016 for then candidate Trump. The biggest, most, to use a Larkin word, egregious voter suppressors in the United States is the DMIC, Democrat Media Industrial Complex. And my challenge to everyone out there, we're 312 hours away, Michael, from the most revelatory moment in the history of the world, where the most first world nation, Mark, is going to make a determination at the ballot box whether we're going to retain that first world status or we're going to abdicate it and we're going to hand it off to people who will they themselves enjoy the benefits of first world capitalism while working to ensure that their opposition, that they take their children, money, and freedoms. So that's the decision, Mark, that's going to be made in 312 hours. And if you're a swing voter in a swing state like our audio engineer, I want you to know that we have over 2 million volunteers who are on the ground across the country, especially in the purple states. And while I gave my prediction last week about why I believe we're going to be pushed over the finish line, one point I do want to make about what Larkin said is that while it is my, and I suspect all of our, preference that the outcome is not decided at the United States Supreme Court, I would just have you look back to the year 2000 when the state of Florida's outcome was decided, 7-2 actually, not 5-4, at the United States Supreme Court. And you know what didn't happen then, Michael? There were no riots. There was no looting. The federal judiciary is one of our three branches of the federal government as part of the separation of powers. So the year 2000, while it didn't exactly happen the outcome the way that maybe we wanted it to, it happened perfectly constitutionally. And if that happens again this year and people do not accept Larkin, that the federal judiciary did its job as one of the separation of powers branches of government, then I would argue that the problems in the republic are already here. Because as soon as the basic constitutional tenets are rejected, which we're in that process now, Mark, then I would say that the country is already in a constitutional crisis. And Curtis, let's be honest about something. Since January 20, 2017, all the Democratic Party has done in Congress is they started their reelection campaign on Inauguration Day. That's all they've done for three and a half years. That's all they've done. So day one, Michael, was we're going to start our reelection opposition efforts against the incumbent. And everything, Curtis, that they have thrown, it has failed. And I just hope and pray that there are enough adult-aged adults in enough states who will reject lies, myths, debunked conspiracy theories, and hysteria that are propagated and espoused by the DMIC, Democrat Media Industrial Complex, and will say, no, I don't really care about what the hysterical editorial board of the Washington Post says. I know that I don't want such and such group in my neighborhood burning stuff, destroying businesses. I don't want to fund the police. I don't want anti-law enforcement. And we did have the best economy before COVID rolled in. And I just hope, Michael, that enough people in enough states will understand that. So if you're registered to vote, you got a front row seat to the most revelatory moment in the history of the world, and all I can ask you to do is choose wisely.
This is a new revolution. And Rich, I'm going to ask all of you to give me a 1-minute idea of what you would like to see happen from this election. when I just say this, we really are in a ground war. You said that right, Rich. But you know, the ground war created by the politicians has not been a ground war where they're trying to do anything positive for America, just for themselves. We should have a situation in this country where politicians are saying, well, wait, we can do this better if you follow my plan or this plan. None of that's happening. It's just the press seems to be running the politicians, and whatever they say, they just follow along. Whatever some group of people says we need this particular trade agreement or whatever, the politicians just fall great onto their tracks and get their heads and bodies chopped off as the train comes rolling over on the American people and the American worker. American workers have been hurt unbelievable by the people that are in Washington paid by our tax dollars to do a job. When somebody told me recently about this stimulus and how people were getting the $1,200 and extended unemployment and things that payroll protection, I said, well, these are all benefiting Americans, and we can at least make our money back as people go to work and do things in a positive way. We can't get our $10 trillion back from the wars in the Middle East that we had to send our troops and stay over there to be police. There's no way for us to get the $10 trillion back. We can get our trillions of dollars back through good management of the country, through more jobs, through more taxes collected through the payroll system. I don't buy a lot of this nonsense. And hopefully we'll see a debate tomorrow evening as we speak on this October 21st, 22nd of October at 9 p.m. in our Eastern Zone. We're going to be watching the two people running for the highest office in America. I'd like to see what they have to say.
Michael, can I make one other point?
Yes.
Can I make one last point, guys, please? Sorry to interrupt, but just because it came up. There's actually a very simple reason why the Democrat media industrial complex, Curtis, which has run for 3+ years, anonymous sourced stories. The New York Times won Pulitzer Prizes with anonymous sourced stories. It's breathtakingly, spectacularly worthless. We have recent stories like The Atlantic with anonymous sources, of course, claiming the president called deceased soldiers suckers and losers, and that lie gets propagated. So that same press, Curtis, has devoted literally 0 seconds to the story about the vice president's son. And here's why, Michael. It's only one of two reasons. Number one, the D-Mic knows the story is accurate. Or number two, they're not sure if it's accurate, and they're afraid of what they'd find if they actually researched it. If the story, Larkin, were false, it would be an immense benefit to the vice president's campaign. An immense benefit would be realized if the story were false, because every editorial board and every D-Mic newspaper and every D-Mic network would be running 24 hours a day that the president's campaign attempted to impugn the integrity of Joe Biden's poor drug-addicted son. But why do they stay away from it, Mark? Because they know it's either true or because they're not sure and they just want to stay away from it because they're afraid of what they'll find. That the press is worthless, Michael, has long been affirmed. As I write in my book, the more pressing question, no pun intended, is whether a lot of our press engages in unconstitutional acts and behaviors. But that's a war, Mark, that we have to wage after we win. As Sun Tzu said, victors win and then wage war. Losers wage war and then try to win. We have to win first, Curtis. Then we have to wage the wars that are coming.
You are so right. Oh, Rich, that was a great statement, and that's absolutely fact. I'm going to take a moment, and I'm going to begin with Curtis. Curtis, we are on the day, November 4th. Our calendar shows up November the 4th. What would you like to see to get America back together?
I'd like to see a decisive Trump victory. And then I would like to see the Trump administration, President Trump and his cabinet, get a grip on the federal bureaucracy, something they never did in the first term, and institute the Trump America First agenda. End the endless wars overseas. Break the grip of the military-industrial complex on Washington, on America, and on the political class. Bring jobs back from China. End our reliance on China. Bring jobs back from overseas. Prioritize American businesses, American workers, and American farmers and ranchers. Reestablish the idea of an American national economy as superseding a global economy, and clean out, and to do all of these things, it be necessary to break the back of the administrative state. We now have a fourth branch of government, a permanent government bureaucracy that is accountable to no one. They do what they want, knowing that the elected officials will be gone in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years, but they will be there forever. And this is undemocratic. It's totalitarian in nature. What we have seen for the last 4 years has been a civil war in which this permanent government is trying to undermine the elected government. And that permanent government includes the bureaucracies of the various three-letter agencies, and the intelligence services, the FBI, the CIA, the secret national security state. They have been working against the elected government. We've also seen, the America First policies of President Trump, I firmly believe, are the only way to bring our country together. It will restore prosperity to America. And when we have a broad-based prosperity, as those of us who are old enough to remember, when you have a broad-based prosperity, all the other problems become resolvable. Of course, we'll have differences over policies. We'll have arguments over who should be on the Supreme Court and what flavor Medicare we should have, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But those can all be resolved when everybody's making money, fat and happy. It's when we're starving that we're at each other's throats. And I believe that the America First policies that President Trump has laid out, but have been stymied by the permanent bureaucracy and others who've tried to undermine him, those America First policies are the way to end the hyperpartisanship and bring our country together again and save us from a state of being ungovernable, which we are very close to becoming right now. As we've seen, the other side refused to accept the outcome of the last election. The hallmark of our democracy, of our representative democracy, is the peaceful transfer of power, accepting your loss, knowing you can come back in 2 years or 4 years to change the government. And if you don't accept those terms, those rules, you are undemocratic, you're un-American. So I hope on November 4th to see a clean victory by President Donald J. Trump, and then see the president clean house, get rid of all the anonymous leakers and all of the moles and termites that are trying to destroy his house and our house from within.